It's time for Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you have a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now at 252-222-4848.
And we'd like to welcome Cecil Harvell, who's calling in on the phone. Good morning, Cecil. How are you?
Good morning, Mike.
And Wes,
how are you?
I am fine. I'm fine. And Wes has made it into the studio here. Good morning, Wes.
I'm here.
Looking,
good morning.
Looking chipper there. And gentlemen, I think we're going to continue our conversation started last week about protecting assets as it relates to like long-term care,
right,
and all of that that's involved with it. We were already involved in that discussion. So, Wes, we'll just pick it up from where we left it off last week.
Sure. I'll get the lead off today. So, of course, last week we talked a little bit just very broadly about, you know, questions we often get at Harvell and Collins from folks about, you know, what happens if I end up or my family member ends up going into a nursing home facility and, you know, who pays for that? You know, I don't know if I can afford that. How much is it? Are there things that I could do to keep from losing my house? A lot of times a spouse will, you know, obviously be concerned about what if something happens to me. Is my spouse going to be okay if that happens to her? You know, what if you have, you know, a situation if there's someone who has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or dementia, you know, what those type of issues. So we discussed some asset protection planning that is appropriate under those circumstances. And where we left it off last week is we would come back and I think hit some of the main questions that we get and answer those. You know, some of the things that come to mind for me, and Cecil certainly chime in, as you know, obviously you deal with folks just as much, probably more than I do, on this particular issue. You know, probably the main thing, Mike, is, you know, what about my house? That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a situation where you've got a single individual, and sometimes it's a situation where there's a husband and wife that own the property. How does that play into the situation when someone ends up having to go into a long-term care facility and it's, you know, $7,000 a month, and where does that fall into that that equation? And, you know, another question we get along the lines of that is, you know, I heard that I can just put that in my son or my daughter's name.
Mm-hmm.
Or I heard this, I get this one all the time, I could sell it to them for a dollar.
Yep.
You know, those type things.
Just put it on the books.
Uh-huh. Right. So it's a little bit of a complicated structure that applies with regard to this. So I'll try for the radio to make it just as simple as possible. But basically the way that works is in dealing with the transfer to a child first, in the event that you do that, then that's what we call a sanctionable transfer. We touched on this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is that in the event that, you know, you transfer, sign a deed, put the property over into the child's name, and then at some point in time you need to go into a care facility because of, you know, it could be because you had a stroke and ended up in the ER and then you're discharged for rehab, or it could be a car accident, could be a fall and a broken bone, you know, whatever type of situation we certainly want to avoid. Then if that happens within 5 years of that transfer, then that's basically sucked back into the equation. They can look at the value of the transfer based on the value of the property, tax value, and make a determination based on that as to how many months you will not receive any Medicaid benefits, which will cover the cost of the long-term care over and above any other income you receive, like Social Security, you know, that type of fixed income.
Is that what people sometimes refer to as the five-year look back, which you just described?
That's correct.
Okay.
If you're transferring assets, and that would normally be transferred to children, then that's something that is going to fall within the radar screen, because upon the application for the benefits, you're going to have to provide account statements. You're going to have to provide information with regard to what you had within the last 5 years, so that the person at the Department of Social Services who takes the Medicaid application for adult Medicaid patients will calculate that and will look at that and make a determination as to whether there's you know, a sanction period or not. And then in the event there is, you've got to undo it.
Yeah.
Or you've got to find the money to pay for it. And how does that work? Well, you got to look to your child who received the asset, and they're going to have to pay and fix it. I mean, we unwind those type situations for folks sometimes, but the better plan is to not get into that situation, but stay ahead of it and do the planning techniques you know, that we're talking about.
And Cecil, what the illustration or the example that Wes just used there comes with it inherent risks over and above the 5-year look back. For instance, if you transfer property for merely a dollar to your adult children, then if they get into some legal mess and someone sues them, then that house is up for grabs, is it not?
That's right. Wes is doing just such a great job as usual. I agree with everything that was being said. Michael, what we want to kind of focus here though is, let's go back just a minute and just say this for the sake of our listeners. I think our listeners know, but let's just reconfirm, all of our elder people in our family that we love and want to support through this last stage of their life, they are on, Michael, Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
We all go on Medicare at certain ages, and, of course, that covers all of our medical need, and it covers our medical doctors and hospitals and rehabilitation. Also, we have then the gap that is paid for personally that then can many times cover, you know, certain prescription plans, et cetera. Medicare, most of our listeners would vote that it's a pretty good thing, all things considered. The problem, though, is that Medicare will not pay for long-term care in a skilled care facility or a nursing home. Medicare pays for a limited period of time, okay? If we're under rehabilitation up to 100 days, it will pay while we are in physical therapy in a nursing home so that we can return home. Medicare takes the position that, look, if we give you physical therapy, you've broken a hip, a shoulder, something of that nature, we will give physical therapy to you in a nursing facility and you will be able to return home. If, however, though, the medical team determines that we cannot be rehabilitated and that we are, in fact, going to be a long-term care resident in the nursing home, then Medicare no longer will pay. And so Wes and I then are confronted by the client with circumstances whereby, basically, as Wes is beginning to explain, square pegs have to go into square holes and round pegs have to go into round holes so that we can help our families who are clients qualify their loved one for Medicaid so that Medicaid then, in fact, will pay for the long-term care expense in a nursing home, which is this $6,000 or $7,000 a month. And that's a two-tier process. Folks come in the office, as we know, with real estate assets, which is their home or their family farm or maybe their rental property, whatever they happen to own that is real estate, Mike. And then they also have their liquid assets, which are their accounts at the bank, maybe their account with a stock company like Edward Jones or AG Edwards or any of the other good, you know, Wells Fargo Securities, any of the other good folks that, you know, hold monies in investment form. So there are two categories of assets. There's the real property and there's the liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
And we begin with the real property by always discussing with the client the use of a trust, a series of trusts, that will in fact protect any real property that they own. And absolutely, back to your question, Mike, which I didn't forget about, but, you know, it is not prudent to just deed your property to your children outright. It's fine to put your property in a trust with the guidance of a lawyer for the benefit of your children. Of course, that's what most folks want, that where they want their property to vest when they're no longer living. But to just deed your property outright to the children not only would trigger a 5-year look back period, but it also makes your property, your land, you know, subject to all the twists and turns of the life of your children. their divorces, their judgments.
Cecil, let me push the pause button on that real quickly, because you know, I have an example, perfect example of what we're talking about with regard to the twists and turns of the life of the child based on a matter I handled yesterday. You know, dealing with a personal injury matter for someone, understanding, and my client was very significantly injured. This was an accident that took place 6 months ago, but we've been working on it. He's recovering, so on and so forth. And we just found out at the end of last week that the policy limits on the liability coverage for the responsible party, the person who caused the accident, was $50,000. Now, that doesn't even touch his expenses that he's going to have to incur as a result of this in horrific accident he was in. So yesterday, I asked my paralegal to do, you know, what we refer to as an accurate search. It's just a program that we have to do asset searches and determine what people own. So we found that this individual defendant, we're not sure how much money he has, but we're trying to see if he's judgment-proof, trying to see if it's worth filing a lawsuit. Well, what we learned is his mother had apparently transferred several pieces of real property into his name. So I don't know what the purpose of doing that was, but whether I'm the good guy or the bad guy, I've got a job to do for my client, and I feel like that I'm being the good guy by representing my client, but now we know that what we need to do.
Yep.
We need to file a lawsuit because that real property that was transferred into this young man's name
has just come into play.
Has come into play because mom transferred it into his name.
Wow.
That was yesterday. That was my paralegal going to do the research and bringing the deeds to me, and here's what we've got. So that's a real world thing.
That is an excellent example, and it just shows you too how on the turn of a dime life can change in an instant, both for your client Wes and also for this individual whose mother thought she was doing him a favor and really just exposed assets that could otherwise have been protected.
Right.
Wow. Interesting, Cecil, isn't it?
So one more wrinkle there also. Not only to the twists and turns of the child's life do we make our property subject, but also there are tax consequences when one deeds their property to their children while they're living. They gift to their children at that time their tax basis in the property. This is a bit technical, but if anyone has more questions about it, they're welcome to call me today at the office. But you do not want to gift your tax basis in the property to your children because it can be very low. You bought the property years ago. Therefore, if ever the children sell the property, they're going to have a very significant capital gain. On the other hand, if your children, Mike, inherit the property through the trust that we are discussing this morning, then the step-up in basis still applies, and the children will receive the property based on the fair market value when they receive the property out of the trust, which of course is when our parents or grandparents are no longer with us. Mm-hmm. So we preserve the step up in basis by using the trust, which is a very important tax concept that clients sometimes don't completely understand, and we need to explain that to them.
Yeah,
deeding your property to your children or grandchildren while you're living is just kind of, you know, it's just a real red flag for good lawyers. We're just not going to really encourage you to do that for the reasons that we've just been stating.
And all the more reason to get legal advice, because you think it's the short-term solution, the immediate solution, but really what you're just incurring is possibility of getting whacked with capital gains tax down the road for those who receive the property today. Good point, Cecil. We'll take a pause on that note and take a short break here and come back with more Let's Talk Legal. If you want to reach the office today, call Cecil Harvell or Wes Collins at 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We'll be right back. Well, Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. And again, the phone number to call the office today, 252-726-9050. Or go online to harvellandcollins.com. Cecil and Wes, there's a lot of traps people can get themselves into when trying to plan for, you know, protecting assets. But the remedies appear to be rather simple if you talk it out with a trained attorney like at Harvell and Collins.
Thank you, Mike. Let's move through this in the last few times. So our listeners just hear. So, of course, as we have said, Wes and I are going to begin your planning with the use of a trust, and we're going to place in the trust any real property that you own. The file then, of course, Mike, sometimes can just go on hold because maybe the mother or the father or the grandmother or the grandfather are not yet needing long-term care, and the file just simply is on hold. If, though, for any reason, either one of your loved ones needs long-term care or is already in a facility, then absolutely the second step of the file is going to be to inventory the liquid assets that they happen to own, and then work with the client to protect the liquidity that exists in the estate. And there are a number of ways that we work through that, and we're not going to be able to get into all of the details, you know, on the radio program. But the bottom line is that we begin with very simple things that maybe some of our listeners have heard about, such as, you know, retiring any debt, you know, if there is an equity line on the house or any debt whatsoever. Of course, if there are any taxes that are owed, sometimes people have a tax issue and they might have some outstanding Internal Revenue Service tax. We then look at prepaying in advance any kind of funeral expense that the client, if the client has not already paid for their funeral. And that can include, by the way, if dad is in the nursing home, then we can pay dad's funeral, but we can also go ahead and prepay mom's funeral, even though she still is in the home. We then, of course, talk to the client about any kind of improvement to the real estate. Any improvement, Mike, is permissible. And by improvement, I mean, any new roofing, new guttering, putting in any kind of handicap ramp to the home, any kind of improvement, handicap or otherwise, in a bathroom or a kitchen or a bedroom, any kind of physical improvement to the real property is permissible. And it doesn't have to be. I used examples of handicap accessibility, but it doesn't have to be. It can just simply be that, you know, we finish off the garage that we always wanted to, or we want to now build a garage, or significantly add on to the home and place another bedroom or family room onto the home. Any use of your liquidity toward your real property is permissible. And so we begin in what I think might be kind of, you know, the more straightforward ways to protect the liquidity. What I want our listeners to understand is to know that there are things that we can advise. There are solutions to the issue of the liquidity so that we are not just spending it down month after month, year after year at $7,000-$8,000 a month. After all of those options are looked at, and of course the reason it gets a little technical here on the radio program is, are we talking about the liquidity of just the mother or father or both of them together? Who is in the nursing home? Just one of the parents and the other is in the home? All of these kinds of facts are going to change what our advice might be, Mike. Okay, we've got to kind of put the puzzle together, if you will. But the bottom line is that there are suggestions that we can make that will help this family protect the lion's share of the liquidity. Not only the things that I just mentioned about improving the real property, prepaying the funeral, but we can go also to some additional planning with these families, given the opportunity to get to a point so that the lion's share of the liquidity is protected. So kind of in conclusion, Mike, you begin to see that there's a two-step process. The first step is protecting the real property, and not triggering the five-year look-back rule and not allowing our children's lives to be connected with our property. And then there is the analysis that would apply where one of our parents or both of our parents are in skilled care and they have certain amounts of liquidity. And we need to now discuss with our lawyer how we can protect the liquidity. The important thing, again, I know I'm repeating myself a bit, but the important thing is that for our listeners and clients to know that there are solutions to those issues. And it's just a matter of sitting down with us and let's, you know, put the puzzle together.
Absolutely. And you add a lot of clarity to that, what appears to be a complex situation, but really it's not when you break it down the way both you and Wes did. We'll take a break on that. We'll come back and I'll let you guys fight for the final word in this important topic about protecting assets. We'll take a short break here. If you want to reach Harvell and Collins, call 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal. And, gentlemen, we have about 2 minutes left in today's program.
Wes? So, Mike, yeah, I'll make some comments following up on what Cecil just went through. You know, the two-step process, the two-step. I guess that's a dance, right?
Sure, it is a dance, yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe this sounds like a little
too
dance.
Too young for that.
Yeah.
But anyway, the first step of the two-step, you know, deal with the real property. Second step of the two-step is to deal with the liquid assets. Medicaid doesn't count personal property. That's tangible, you know, things like stuff in the house, furniture.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the resources or time to go value those type of things. But what Cecil just went through is basically the spin down. It's basically a situation where whether you're dealing with a single individual or someone who is married, we have to take into consideration all the assets of either the single individual or the married couple for making the determination as to whether the person's eligible for these adult Medicaid benefits to cover their cost of long-term care. So it's often the case where folks just are too high on how many assets they have. Maybe the home is protected, but maybe they're over on the other assets. So then you go into the process of the spin down where there's a whole host of things. And, you know, Cecil went through about five things there and there's, you know, 105 things
sure.
that can be done. We just have to look at the particular circumstances to make a determination as to what suggestions we will make to the client for them to decide what they want to do to spin down, or if they want to just protect the real estate and spend $7,000 a month on the nursing home expense until the money's gone,
mm-hmm.
and then they would be eligible. Okay, that's
yeah.
a choice if
yeah.
they would
yeah.
want to do that.
Yeah, it's an option.
We just give them options.
Right.
We do deal with this differently if it's a married couple, because the healthy spouse has the ability to keep up to it's a little over $120,000 by dividing the assets. That's called the community spouse resource allowance. And we've got 14 seconds left, so we don't have time to get into that. But that's kind of the long and short of these issues. A lot more detail we could get into, but planning is very important.
Absolutely. Cecil, a very important topic. And as you said earlier at the outset of the show, people can reach you in the office and have a further discussion on this today simply by calling you at 252-726-9050. Gentlemen, thank you for this enlightening conversation on a very important topic.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.